This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 854. And I am doing something I have never done before. One time on a prior episode, I was on the plane recording an entire episode on Southwest Airlines. And now I'm doing something different today. We are actually at the JHU, Jason Hartman University Live event in Oklahoma City. And I am walking back with a couple of our wonderful attendees. They agreed to come on the podcast last night when we were at dinner. So let's introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from.
I'm David Nelson. I live in Folsom, California, currently.
Right by Folsom Prison, where Johnny Cash did his famous concert, right?
Right, exactly, yes. Fabulous place.
Okay, and?
Gina Nelson, and a wife of 21 years here. He forgot to mention that I was married to him.
There you go. Good stuff. Well, we are walking along here, walking back from lunch to the hotel to continue the day. What got you interested in real estate investing?
Yeah, so Gina and I have been looking at doing something different after becoming entrepreneurs in the business side. And because we began to realize that the societal norm of working 40 hours a week for 40 years and putting all your money into an IRA, which you'd have very little control of, didn't make any sense to us anymore. So we decided that we needed to take more control of our lives and in the form of investing in real estate and do something different, wealth building. And it's not something that we would have done even a year earlier, so the timing was perfect for us when Khan introduced us to it. And then we bought a first property in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's worked out great. We bought several in Memphis, and we have a couple in Ohio. But anyway,
when did you buy the first one?
The first one we bought April 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great. And so it really, like I said, and what's really, really critical is that I found out that I really love the business side. I really love the analysis of looking at real estate and making those decisions and running the numbers and keeping track and about to use Property Tracker for that. I found out that was really something I was passionate about. I haven't been really passionate about something work, you know, income related in years. So this has been a really different mindset shift for us.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, since you're a couple, do you sort of divide up the work? Do you have different areas of interest when it comes to real estate investing?
Well, Dave has really been kind of spearheading all of the real estate. I've learned a lot just from him, but I got to come out to Ohio, to your Ohio property tour, and that's when I got to actually go beyond just listening to your podcast and actually see you in person and really learn so much more.
Well, and don't forget the highlight. You met Coco then,
that's
right?
That's correct. Yeah, correct.
That's the dog.
And, you know, we just fell in love with the area, with the property managers, and then the trust of being able to look at this as an idea of investing became so much more of a reality for us. Again, we both were corporate rats. We're, you know, got master's degrees and have done what our parents taught us to do, which was invest and put more than 75% of our assets in, you know, IRAs and in the stock market. And as we started reading books and educating ourselves and listening to Jason's podcasts, we realized that wasn't necessarily going to get us where we wanted to go. We were watching our investments just completely go the opposite direction. And so this became much more exciting and kind of opened the lid of what was possible for retiring earlier and being able to just really have a portfolio that's completely different than, I'd say, 90% of the folks that have been in our life. I mean, they think we're crazy. They're not really even, can't get their heads around this concept of what we're doing.
Because they're all putting all their money into their 401k, right, and just doing that traditional Wall Street thing that we've all been conned into doing, right?
Is that right?
Yeah, good stuff. So in terms of investing and, you know, how you feel good about it now, do you feel really good that you have more control over your life now? Does it feel that way?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. But before, there was no end to the corporate race for us. It was just keep working. And if we hit 65 and we're healthy enough, hopefully we have enough to retire on. And that was putting all the trust in somebody else. And so being able to be around like-minded people, see how they were investing, see the tax benefits, all the things that we've learned, I mean, absolutely have 100% more control than we used to have.
Yeah, this is what it's all about, folks. Be a direct investor. Commandment number 3, thou shalt maintain control. It's a very, very powerful, if for no other reason than it just feels good. If the returns were as low and crappy as they were on Wall Street, I'd still rather be in the real estate investment business because, you know, at least you're in control and you don't feel like you've relinquished your future to somebody else with an ulterior motive. So what other things would you like to tell people about your investments or your philosophy or approach to real estate investing?
Yes, I'd love to hit that one. What I've learned is you like to mention be area agnostic as one of your commandments, and that I love that. I like to look at this as also be, when it comes to real estate investing, be age agnostic. Who cares what age you are? You can start doing this at 19, like you did. You could start doing this in your 20s. You can start doing it in your 50s. I started in my 50s.
I'll tell you, our oldest client is 86 years old when he started. So now he's got to be about 93. And he's a retired doctor and just wanted to build a portfolio for his grandchildren. I mean, I wish I had a grandfather like that, but oh well. Yeah. It's never too late to start. And the deals, of course, are never as good as they were in the past. You know, you always have to buy something that has good value and wait for it to play out. But I love what you said about the age thing. It was very good.
Yeah. It's really kind of morphed into our children starting to pay a lot more attention. My son at 19, he's starting to listen. Actually, my son started to listen to your podcast.
That's great.
So, and he's 19 and he like bought his first vehicle with cash. And I explained to him about how, you know, he listened to you. He knows what good debt is.
Yeah.
Now, consumer
versus
debt's bad.
Yeah, right.
You know, but so he's on his road. I said, if you get out of, you get in your 20s with your first property, kind of like Brandon's doing.
Brandon is one of our Venture Alliance members and clients who's here at the event.
Right. So, yeah. And he's a military guy too.
Yeah. And he's now 30 and he's got, I think, 7 properties.
Yep. And if you do that, I told him, you'll be a multimillionaire. You'll have several million dollars in assets by the time you're in your 30s. And doing it methodically and doing the daily disciplines and doing it and never, and not quitting and learning and actually learning. Like you said, Jason, is, you know, we didn't have paralysis of analysis. When we started this process, I listened to podcasts for about a month, and I said, what the heck? I started learning on my first job with Sarah. She was awesome.
Yeah,
she guided me as our investment counselor, Sarah Liske. She was phenomenal. And then with Michelle Hawkins and people like that we met, and Stephen Lockwood and those guys, they helped us open our eyes to, you know, taking money out of our, actually putting less money on our 401ks to where the company matches only to that benefit and putting the rest aside for buying more real estate. So that's what we've done. It's been fantastic.
Excellent, excellent story. Okay, so now we are on Northeast 2nd Street here in Oklahoma City. Which way do we go to get back to the Aloft Hotel where we have to finish up the afternoon? By the way, I'll just tell you, I'll sort of interrupt the flow of the your story and your case study for just a moment and say that at lunch here today, we played the portfolio builder game that we do at the JHU events. Let's cross the street here. And how do you like this, folks? This is a very homespun podcast. We're talking about crossing the street on the show. The portfolio builder game requires people to break into teams and take a batch of properties, 10 properties. It gives them a budget of, in this case today, we play it different each time, but today it was $150,000 and a limit of five Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac conventional loans. And then you have to optimize it for different things. For example, buying the most real estate, right? The biggest portfolio. You have to optimize it for the best cash flow. Optimize it for geographical diversification, for ease of management. So there are several optimization strategies, and that's one of the sort of frustrating questions I get asked over the years all the time is, you know, well, just tell me the best properties to buy and I'll buy them, right? But you can't do it that simply because it depends what you're looking for as an investor and what you want to optimize for, right? So yeah, what other thoughts do you have? Just anything you want to share?
I just wanted to say one thing before Gina grabs. Let me tell you how critical this is having a support system, not including Jason Hartman University folks, but my amazing spouse has been the biggest supporter of mine and biggest encourager, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. So she is by bar none the biggest impact in my life. So,
well, to kind of piggyback on that, I just was going to say that the whole idea of the support team is huge because we didn't know anything about real estate. We were not realtors. We just, you know, we were just homeowners. And so the whole idea of investing was really foreign to us. And so, you know, even to sit with this group that we've been with today and do this project over lunch was just really eye-opening to have different minds kind of putting their input in and telling us, oh, no, we got to look at this variable, or no, let's look at this variable instead. And all of that was just really very helpful for me to kind of look at the portfolios and go, okay, now what are we looking for in the next five properties?
Excellent. So as we board the elevator, this is like we're giving you the visual tour here as we push the up button on the elevator. And that's what this is about, moving up in life. So it's a good metaphor, you know, we're upward bound with real estate investments. But yeah, you know, the point of that portfolio builder game is there's not really a right or wrong answer. It just makes everybody think. And I think that's the point of it. So it'll be interesting when we get back in the room to have everybody talk about, each team leader will present which properties they chose and why. So both of you are believers in higher education. Well, I think you are. At least you did the higher education route. You both have master's degrees. You've heard me criticize the college conspiracy a lot on the show, of course, because, and I don't think education is bad by any means. I think it's wonderful. I just think it's massively overpriced. But there is a way to combat that, and using income property investments to fund higher education for your kids, right? Tell us what you both do for your occupation, and then talk about that strategy, if you would.
Well, I'm a clinical social worker. I work for Kaiser in the as a palliative care social worker, and on the side, I have a side business, and I'm a health coach.
Fantastic. So you probably see some pretty difficult experiences in your business in palliative care, I
absolutely.
Bet.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, and it's like everything, like every corporate job. It's a commute every day and a long day emotionally, and the mindset is very different in that environment than when I'm around people that are investors and are really looking at building wealth for themselves in the future.
Right. A more positive environment.
Absolutely,
yeah.
More positive. You know, a lot more exciting, and people don't understand when I say I'm going to retire at 45 next year. They go, what do you mean by that? I said, well, you know, we have a plan. You know, I believe in higher education. Absolutely. I've got my master's degree and I want our kids to go to school. But at the same time, we have so many friends whose kids have come out and had $200,000 in student loans. And we needed to have a solution and a plan for how we were going to help pay for that so they didn't end up like that.
That is excellent. Okay, what do you do?
I'm actually in the computer science field. I got a computer science degree back in the 80s. And I, you know, like to piggyback on what Gina was saying, I've been an IT supervisor for years in the healthcare field, but, you know, and was planning on doing that into my 60s and living off our great 401ks. God knows what those would have done. But now what we're really looking hard at is with what Gina was saying, with so many people graduating with literally six figures in debt and higher and mid six figures. It's crazy. We said we are not going to allow that to happen to our youngest daughter. So what we've decided to do was we've been building our portfolio and looking at cash flow, really probably harder than maybe some of the other metrics. Although we look at cash on cash, we look at ROI, but we're really looking at that as we will get 10 doors and have $36,000 in cash flow. for the year, an annual, obviously, and that will pay for my daughter's college. So that's our plan right now, and we're well on our way to doing that.
Congratulations. That is awesome. That is totally awesome. Good for you guys. That's fantastic. You know, one of the things that's been, I think, interesting to people here is that we talk about income property and how it produces a multi-dimensional return on investment, unlike many other assets that are either one or two-dimensional at the most. Income property is multi-dimensional, and a lot of this return on investment is sort of like the iceberg. It's below the surface of the water, and you don't necessarily see it unless you know how to really think about it and analyze it. And I think that's been, I don't know if that was an aha moment for you this weekend, but it has been for other people I know because they've told me. And you mentioned that cash flow is just one of them. So, you know, there are many metrics you need to look at and understand as a real estate investor. What do you think about that iceberg concept, like most of the iceberg being below the water when it applies to income property?
You know, I've always learned something at one of these events, but I think for me, you know, again, it's changing the mindset of the corporate, you know, you're just going to go one way, and I know we were getting killed in taxes, being six-digit salary folks, you know, on the W-2s, we just had no other way to diversify and find, you know, other options. So being able to have the property and learn about depreciation and inflation, deflation, all these things, I mean, it's been really mind-boggling to me to just see how valuable it has been for us as we've collected more properties and really diversified our portfolio. It's changed our financial situation drastically.
Yeah, that is excellent that it has, but it is it's so true. That typical corporate thing, it'll just leave you poor. It's so sort of simplistic. Do this basket of stocks, your 401k, blah, blah, blah. And it's so unfair, too, because earned income, you know, you've both got six-figure plus salaries, mm-hmm. and earned income is taxed at the highest rate. And it's the hardest job, too, right, to do the typical corporate job. It's unfair from two perspectives. So, you know, breaking free of that is definitely what we're here to help people do. And I love how you have a plan. And you're really talking about, like, you know, like Fernando said before, the Financial Independence Day, right?
Right. Well, you know what I was going to say? Just also, I forgot to say, you know, we live in California, so we live in a very cyclical market. And so, you know, one of the things that's been the greatest value for us being exposed to Jason Hartman has been just to understand what a linear versus a cyclical market looks like. And for, you know, some of our friends that flip houses and try to time the market and all that, you know, that was something that we never were, you know, we weren't real estate people and we didn't have a clue how to do that or to actually do that well. And so having something in the, you know, more, you know, linear environment has been very helpful for us to be able to pick those things up and diversify and not feel like we had to come out with, you know, $400,000 to buy a house because some of the other areas have been more affordable for us. And yet they're all producing positive cash flow, which has been amazing.
Yeah, so just for those of you who don't know, Folsom, where they live, is up by Sacramento, California, a very hot real estate market, very cyclical, very expensive now at this part of the cycle, but yeah, that'll change, I promise. There's always a cycle. And, you know, you could risk it all on one flip. I mean, you know, because the properties are so expensive and, you know, like you said, having to put $400,000 down to buy a property, that's just a real risky deal. If you time that flip wrong, that could ruin you, right? Yeah. So,
yeah. So, piggyback on that, it's like an example of that. We had a $500,000 house that was not fixed up in our neighborhood, a 3-2, 1,700 square foot. I mean, where's the basis for that supporting that value? It's
there isn't one.
Yeah. So that's why what we're doing now by building this wealth in real estate is we're also decreasing our exposure in the stock market at the same time, because I took a look at this in February of 2016 and I said 80%, over 80% of Gina and my our personal wealth was in the real estate market. I said,
stock market.
I'm sorry, stock market. Thank you for that. Was in the stock market. And I said, we have very little control over that. And thou shalt maintain control. So we've really been working hard this past year to responsibly divest ourselves of that where we can. And so, you know, I took one of my previous employer pensions, cashed it in, and bought two houses with it. And it's like that, because I have control of that asset. And I'm not looking at some fund manager who wants to make his bonus and doesn't care what happens to us. Be at the mercy of them. So, yeah.
And since the subject of timing came up, you probably, either by accident or on purpose, are timing that fairly well because the stock market is looking very overvalued at the moment.
Yes. Absolutely. And what I, you know, yeah, and there are our corporate related 401ks, we really can't do a whole lot about right now. We're doing everything we can to maximize it without throwing any more money than we have to in it. But I've moved a bunch of my money into guaranteed returns because I know the crash is coming and everybody else says it is. We just don't know when. So I'm going to minimize the damage that can happen there. And then when I can get at it, I'm going to take that money and it's going to go into real estate.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Well, we got to wrap it up. In case the listeners haven't noticed, we're back in the room where people are meeting, and you're probably hearing some chit chat and laughter in the background as we come back from lunch here and reconvene. But just any final thoughts, you know, maybe just a final thought from either of you. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it. It's always, listeners love hearing these stories of real people that are doing it rather than me talking about it in theory, you know, right? I mean, mine is practice too, but it's so nice when you hear different perspectives, you know, certainly. So just wrap it up with any final thought.
I have a quick one here. And if you're, you know, out there and you don't know where to start, get a mentor. Every bit of success I've had in business and in corporate, I've found a mentor. Jason Hartman is an amazing mentor. He's transparent. Everybody I've met through his organization has been transparent and honest and ethical. And they tell you about the exposures up front. You know, it's on you. You're going to have to learn how to do this. There's going to be things that can happen that you can't control. But finding that mentor is crucial, and we found it here, and we plan on being in this for very many years to come.
Well, and just for us, I mean, it's listening to podcasts, educating yourself, and not getting stuck so much in the details of all the education, because at some point you have to pull the trigger and take a little bit of a risk, which was, you know, kind of out of our comfort zone. But when you do that in an environment with the whole, you know, with the team like Jason has, you feel much more comfortable with it. The risk seems less than it would be of us just being completely on our own. And it's been just an amazing journey of growth, personal growth for us, you know, to really kind of open the lid of what's possible.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I will just wrap it up with a quote. Well, two of my favorite quotes. The one I shared this morning is that Zen saying, to know and not to do is to not yet know. Like you said, you have to pull the trigger and you just got to do things and figure it out as you go and iterate and change course as you go. But the other one I thought was a really great quote too, and it's, I hope I don't mess this up, but because it's just from memory, but it basically goes something like, successful people make decisions quickly as soon as all the facts are available, and change them very slowly, if ever. Unsuccessful people make decisions very slowly and change them often. And I think that's just critical. You know, those two quotes are exactly what you said. One more thing I want to mention for you listeners, go to jasonhartman.com/contest. This is a new thing, so listen up. jasonhartman.com/contest. There is one product that I think is probably the best product Apple has come out with in the last 5 years, and that is the Apple AirPods, those little wireless earphones. And I absolutely love those things. There's like a 6-week wait to get them. I bought a pair for myself, waited 6 weeks for it to come. They came. I've been using them for a couple of months now. And I'll tell you, you talk about education a lot. If you want to be able to listen to more podcasts and education more easily, those AirPods are phenomenal. It's amazing when you cut the cord how convenient it becomes. And so I bought one of those to give to our audience. So jasonhartman.com/contest. Enter the contest there and just answer a couple quick questions and we'll put your name in and we will raffle those off to one lucky listener. So that's it for now, and we will talk to you on Wednesday for the next episode. Thanks for listening, and happy investing. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.